Okay, so new Mishnah. Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. Mitzudos Chaya Veof Vedagim Shasan Merv Yom Tov Lo Yito Mehen Biyom Tov Elam Kain Yodeyash and Yitzodu Merv Yom Tov. So, if you have traps for animals or birds or fish, and they were made before Yom Tov, so now we're out of the
bigger place.
Placed, made, I mean, whatever. Meaning they're out there. They're out there to trap animals. So you are allowed, you're not allowed to take them on Yom Tov unless you know that they were caught before Yom Tov, right? So here we're not talking about a tzad problem. We're talking about a mukta problem, right? That if they were trapped on Yom Tov, so if they're trapped Erev Yom Tov, so then it's fine. If it's trapped, on Yom Tov, so then it won't be fine, because then it'll be mukta, because the animals weren't set aside before Yom Tov. You need a sheet. Everyone printed. Okay. Fine. Umaisa ben Achriyachad, and there was once a story where a non-Jew came, Shehevi Dagim Rami Gamliel, and he brought Rami Gamliel fish. V'amar, and Rami Gamliel said, Mutarnein, Ela She'ein Ritzoni L'kabel Himenu. It's permitted, but I don't want to take it from him. And Rashi says, Shani Sono, which we'll come back to, because I dislike him. Okay. But the Gemara says,
Exactly.
So he says, so Gemara says the obvious question. Right? The first statement says that it is forbidden to take anything which wasn't caught before Yom Tov. Now, presumably, Rabbi Gamliel's the guy who brought the stuff to Rabbi Gamliel is bringing it on Yom Tov. It's mukta, and Rabbi Gamliel says it's mutter. He just doesn't want to take it. So the Gemara says, "Maisa listor." Do you have a story here contradicting the first statement? The Gemara says, "No." Chzurei mechzer avachi k'tani. You have to reinterpret. There is a missing clause here. What that means was our ad hoc share last week. And this is what it says: Safek muchan asur Rabbi Gamliel matir. Right? If something is doubtful whether it had been prepared and therefore isn't moksa, so then it is forbidden. But Rabbi Gamliel permits it, and umaisa nami. And then there's a story to illustrate how Rabbi Gamliel diverges from the position of the Tanakama. Benachriyachad Shehevi Dagim Rabbi Gamliel v'amar mutarnin elashein ritzoni l'kabel hemenu. And then the Gemara says, okay, how do we paskin? So, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Ein Halacha Kraman Gamliel. So, Rav Yehuda said, quote, Shmuel, that we do not paskin like Gamliel, Safik Muchan is forbidden. V'ika Damasni La'aha, some teach that on the following Braisa, D'Tanya, Safik Muchan, if something is doubtful, whether it was prepared before Yom Tov, Rabbi Gamliel, Matir, Rishua, Oser. And Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Halacha, Kirav Yeshua, that it is forbidden. V'ika demasni laha. And then there's a third possible brisa. Titania, the brisa says, shochtin min hanagarin bi yom tov. Avalo min harishatot min hamachmarot. So you can shecht animals that were in their pens because they were already trapped and they were ready before yom tov, but not ones that were in the traps, that it's a case, as Rashi said, Safik Nitzol Yom, Safik Nitzol Me'atzmol, right, where it's doubtful whether it's trapped yesterday or today. Rashim ben Elazar, Omer, Va Umitzan, Mikul Kalin, Me'erev Yom Tov, Biyadua, Shime'erev Yom Tov, Nitzodu U Mutarin. But Rashim ben Elazar says that if you come Erev Yom Tov and you see that the traps are ripped up, so then, even if you don't actually see the animal, you know that that means the animal's caught somewhere there, right? Meaning something's already in there, and therefore it's known that it was mukhan before Yom Tov, and it is fine. Bo matzan mukutan bi Yom Tov, but if you only find the messed up on Yom Tov, v'yadua shebe Yom Tov nitzodu v'asurim. So Gemara says, ha gufa kasha, this is an internal contradiction. First you say, if you find it messed up in Erev Yom Tov, it is permitted, which implies only if it's vadai, right, you know for sure it was caught Erev Yom Tov, it's permitted, but Safek would be Asur. And then the Gemara says that, or the Braisa says, that if you find it messed up only on Yom Tov, meaning it's Vaday, not Mulchan, it's Asur, which implies Safek would be permitted. So which is it? And Amar Bo Matzan Mekulkan Erev Yom Tov, Biyadua Shem Erev Yom Tov, Yitzodu. Right? Taima debalma tanmikul kalin hasveg asurin. Right? So that's what I just said, right? That if you find it, you know it's done, it was messed up in Erev Yontif, it is permitted, which implies that a safeg is asur. A masefa, the second clause, sounds like the opposite. Vav matzan mikul kalin biyomtov, biyaduash biyomtov nisodu. If you find it messed up only on Yom Tov, so then it is forbidden. Taima debal matzan mikul kalin. That's because you find it only on Yom Tov. Ha sveika me'erav Yom Tov nitzadu umutaren. But if it's a safek, so then it is permitted. So the Gemara says, no, hachi kamar va umutzan mikul kalin me'erav Yom Tov. If you find it messed up on Erev Yom Tov, biyaduash me'erav Yom Tov nitzadu umutaren. Then it is permitted because you know it was prepared. Hasveika, but if it's doubtful, nasa kemisha nitzodu biyom tov v'asurin. It's as if it was trapped on Yom Tov because safek is asur. Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Halacha, Kirshim, Ben Elazar. So you have three different versions of this, where in each brisa there is a machlokes, whether something which is safek muchan or not, is it permitted or is it forbidden? And we paskin in each case that safek muchan is forbidden. In order for something to be permitted, it needs to be vaday prepared before Yom Tov. Otherwise, it is mukta.
Is that a knas?
So,
because mukta is a rabbanon.
Ah, okay. So, as you can see, right, we can, right.
And the whole goy thing doesn't make any sense.
So the goy thing we won't get to today, but the other question we will get to today, right? And you can see, right, I've put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 mini questions on this Gemara. One of them is exactly what Alan says, which is, why would Safek Muchan be us? Or if you want, we can jump to that. I don't care. We can do that.
It's instant gratification.
But I'd rather
jump to the goy. That's
easy. I'm not jumping to today because that we have to go in some sort of order here. Let's stick with the order that I put in the sheet. The first question is just to clarify what exactly is machlokes about. So the simplest understanding of this whole sugya, as I just said, the machlokes is safek muchan, safek muksa, asur or mutter. That is the majority position. That's what the Gemara sounds like over and over and over and over again.
Just a question on the case in the actual Gemara. Okay.
Which case? 1, 2, or 3?
Okay. Just the first basic case where it's Erev Yontif, he sees that the traps are damaged.
The third case. Okay.
Okay. Why is that vaday and not a safek? You haven't seen the animal.
Yeah, but that means you know something got in there.
Okay, so the traps are basically a type of trap that only catches one animal at one time.
And one type of animal, right?
And once it's mekukal, you know that.
So that is the discussion in the Rishonim. Let me see if I actually put on this sheet. Right. Once I ran out of space, so then I moved things to the next sheet. I think I moved that to the next sheet. Wait, did I? No, I don't. Let's see, did I do this? No, I did put it on the sheet. No, I put it on the sheet. Don't worry, yes, I put it on the sheet. That question will come too. But yes.
So explain the physics of how this happens.
Correct. 13, 14, and 15 deal with that question. And Alan's question is 9, 10, 11, and 12. I'm glad I put... I was like, on this one, I needed to give myself, sort of subheading so I know what I'm doing. But first thing to get out is, okay, is... Despite the fact that the simple machlokas, the simplest understanding of this whole sugya, and Rashi says it throughout, but it's the simple implication of the Gemara, is that the issue at hand is safek muchan. Is how do we treat safek mukta? Is it asur or is it mutter? Now, Alan Ari has hinted to why you would think it would be mutter, because it's derabbanan, normally safek derabbanan lekula, and we're going to have to explain why that's not the case. But before we get that, we have to, as is often the case, see the Rambam, who doesn't understand our sugya this way at all. He just counter-reads the whole Gemara. And that is what you get here in number 2. The Rambam, Pirush Mishnah, says as follows, Rambam Gamliel, Sover, Shesafik, Muchan, Mutter. Okay. Right, Rambam Gamliel says that Safek Muchan is permitted, that we know. V'chein Sover, Shegoyshe, V'yom Tov, Dagim Operos, Afalbi, Shetzadan, V'yom Tov, Mutaren. Right. So, the simplest under case...
There's no suffix there.
Exactly. Right? So, Rashi, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says on the Goy case that it's a case of suffix. Right? That's the whole point. The whole context of the whole Gemara is suffix. Right? But the Rambam here says no. Rambam Gamliel, there's actually machloket minakatze el hakatze. Right? Rambam Gamliel The Tanakhama is Oser, Muktzah v'Safek Muktzah, right? And Rav Gamliel says that something that a Goy brings is Oser, even if it was trapped on Yom Tov itself, there's no problem of Muktzah, right? So how he gets that?
Isn't that more mashmai in the Mishnah?
Well, not really, right? The whole context. The Gemara says, right, you have three cases, right? I mean, just look at the first line of the Gemara. Ma'isa listor, chzuri mechzavach ketani, safek muchan asur, rabbi gamliel matir. Right? That's the, right? The machlok is in the entire Gemara. It seems about safek, right? That's the simplest understanding.
Except when it comes to the Goy example, because he doesn't...
No, but that's how the Gemara understands that. It seems like Safek Muchan, right? Because the Gemara says it's a Maisa Listor, right, on that.
What's the difference whether he's a Goy or not a Goy, or a Jew?
Well, that's because a Goy could cut it on Yom Tov, Mibchinato, right? Yeah, there's no problem. The only problem is Muktzah.
There should be any and that's problem with
Muktzah. Well, but if the problem with Muktzah, what's the difference whether it's a Goy or a Jew?
Well, if a Jew did it, you have a problem because he did it Be'ezer. Right. If a Jew did it, you have an added problem, because that's the tzad problem. If you want to isolate the mukta problem, you need a goy, because then there's no problem with him cutting it. There's a problem. The Gemara will get into what other problems there might be, Maisa Shabbos and things like that, but presumably, again, the simple understanding here is that the whole Gemara is about Safek Muchan.
But you didn't ask the goy to catch on you.
What?
You didn't ask the goy
that's,
to catch on
you. We're going to get to that. We're not there yet. That's the next half of the sugya in the Gemara. We have to hold on. Allah Seder here.
You can shechta.
Trapping. Not the shechting, the trapping. Right?
But Gamaliel on the mission didn't ask them when he caught it.
And that's the Gemara's question. Right? You're right. The Gemara deals with this. Look, you can continue in the Gemara.
Yeah.
Right? The Gemara, that is...
He didn't care.
That is the Gemara that then continues from here till the end, till the next Mishnah, is dealing with exactly what's going on in the Rabbi Gamaliel case. But before we get to exact parameters of it, right, nobody understands how the Rambam even got here. And the Pnei Yeshua notes this in 3. He says, Pashta delishne, tafil hecha shavade tzadim yom tov mutarin. Right, the Rambam seems to say that Rabbi Gamaliel, right, it's... Right, from one extreme to the other. He's not just arguing about Safik. He's saying that even if a guy catches it on Yom Tov, there's no problem with Muksa. Vilachara, Dvarav Tmuhim. Right? It doesn't make any sense. Dabu Bishish, Litin Tamle Dvarav, Bazel, Libadar Mgamliel. So look, I'm not saying that conceptually what he's saying is impossible. It's possible. Rav Gamliel just doesn't believe in Mukta on Yom Tov. He doesn't believe that it's a problem. The guy brings it.
Right.
The problem isn't the concept. The problem is Mikomoko, Misugya Deshmaitzin Lomash Mahachi. He said, what are you talking about? The problem here is a textual problem. That the Gemara said, right? Right, Safek Muchan. Right? Ella, the Hach Maitan Nami lo Ayri Elbe Safek Muchan. Vanir, Lefina's Daiti, but she does it for Besamoch. He said, what does he hold? We'll get to in a moment. Now, where does the Rambam get it? So Rambam seems to get it from the Yerushalmi. Because Yerushalmi in 4 says as follows. Yerushalmi says, so, mi modia im neskalkla mitzuda davar bari shenitzodu mi beodyo. Right, if it was messed up before Yom Tov, so it's vadai, that it was trapped
before
Yantiv. Aval im lo niskalkala ha-metsuda, but if the trap is not undone or missed up or whatever before Yom Tov, davar bari shelo nitzanu b'bed yom. It is vadai that it was not trapped during the day. Va'afilu niskalkala ha-metsuda v'chash lo mar shema lo nitzanu b'bed yom. And even if it was messed up and you're right, not sure. So Amar Rabbi Yossi Barbon Beforesh Bechorshin. Right. So that's a question. The Gemara says, how do you know? Maybe it was messed up before. This is Howie's question, right? Maybe it's messed up before Yom Tov, and it still wasn't trapped. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yossi Barbon Beforesh Bechorshin. It's where it's. As Chaim Sofer will explain it, it's in a forest. Right, and there are a lot of animals there, and therefore, if it gets messed up, it's karov levadai that it was an animal that actually got caught. Right, it's not like there's something else. Like there's good reason. It's not just like it happens to be messed up. There's good reason. You put it where the animals were, and then you see that you see that it snapped. Right, you didn't walk over to it, but you saw that it was snapped, and it makes sense. And teda lachashu kain the taninan dogim v'dogim lo b'makom shein metzuyin v'hacham b'makom shchayvav metzuyin. The Gemara goes on. We don't need to continue in the Yerushalmi to get the details of the Yerushalmi, but what the Acharonim point out is that the reason the Rambam seems to have counter-read the Gemara is because the Yerushalmi, at the very least, pushes this to Vaday. Right, the Yerushalmi explicitly says that the discussion isn't about Safek, the discussion is about Vaday. Right, and then the Gemara tries to explain under what circumstances simply seeing the trap messed up is either Vaday or Karov Levaday, right, close enough to Vaday. But it's clear that the Gemara is pushing in the direction that it is Vaday. And that seems to be just on a textual level, right? The Rambam often does this, right? It's not impossible. I mean, it's pretty hard to read the Bavli this way, but it's not technically impossible to read the Bavli this way. If you have an explicit Yerushalmi that goes out of its way to say it this way. Well, that seems to be what's going on, right? Because this case is the one that the Braisa equates with Rambam Gamliel. Right, meaning the Braisa had equated Rabbi Gamliel's position exactly right with the case of the right. That was the third Braisa
right.
in our Gemara, which Gemara equates with the position of Rabbi Gamliel. If you just put right, you just A equals B, B equals C, A equals C. So then Rabbi Gamliel is going to say that in order for something to be the Tanakhama will say you need Vaday, which implies that by implication Rabbi Gamliel. Right, is matir even by Vaday not prepared. Okay. Yeah. It's that Mario. And then the Gemara goes back. Then the end of the Yerushalmi goes back to the cases of Safek. And then if you look at we should put the last line. Look at the second to last line, right? The last two words on the line. Just I'll skip to the middle here. But Rabbiya Rabba Rabbi Shimon Rebbe Chad Amar Ha'akum Tzarach Hachein Vechorna Amar Ein Ha'akum Tzarach Hachein. And he said, "There's a machlokes in the Amoraim. Do you what's Hachein? Meaning preparation. Meaning something that a goy brings. Does it need to be prepared before Yom Tov in order not to be mukta? Or if a guy brings it, then it's automatically not mukta, even if the guy, right? Even if the guy didn't prepare it before Yom Tov, it's a machlokes. So the combination of the first clause, which explicitly pushes the machlokes to the level of Vaday, and the third, the end of this discussion, which tells you explicitly that there is a shita that when a guy brings something on Yom Tov, that's considered not mukta, even without preparation. So the Rambam ends up saying, like the Yerushalmi, that Rav Gamliel would be matir if the guy brings it, even without any preparation. Now, why would that be true? So this is something we might have to get back to. But there's two possible ways of understanding mukta, and different muktas may fit in different categories. Right? So at very simple level. One way of understanding mukta is that things in their normal state are considered unprepared. And in order for them not to be mukta, they need to be actively prepared. Right? The other possibility is that things in their neutral state are prepared, right? Are not mukta. But if you push them aside, right? You don't plan on using them, so that pushes them out of the sphere of human beings. And this really comes down to the question: to what extent you think mukta is a function of hachana, which is the discussion of the first daf of Beitza, if you remember from whenever you did the first daf of Beitza, I don't know how many years ago that was. Now, this may be the machlokas, right? If you think that something needs to be actively pushed out in order to be mukta, so something that was in a goy's property. Right, may not be able to be mukta, right? Because the guy can't, right? He's not in the world of mukta, so he can't push things out of the realm, and therefore it would automatically be impervious to mukta. If you think that in order for things not to be mukta, they need hachana, right? The principle of mukta is that in order for something to be allowed to be used, it needs to be actively prepared. So then, something that a guy has would still be unprepared, presumably, right? That's part of the machlokes. Or between the Deos here and the Yerushalmi, and between the Rambam and everybody else, and how to read the Gemara. We'll have to sort of revisit that point, but that's just to sort of get us thinking in that direction. The Chassam Sofer in 5, then writing the Yerushalmi, says Elam Ken Yodesh in Tzudim Yom Tov Yerushalmi in the Mitzaum Mekolkalim Yom Tov Nami have a Vada Shekar in Tzudim Yom Tov in Masnis and Ma'ir Befarsh Mitzudasu Bechorshin. Right, so he just explains the technicalities. How could it be that once you have your trap out, so now it's avadai. So he said, you put it in the chorshin. Hainu biyar shemitzuyim sham chayot harbe. There are many animals. Dumya the dog in b'mayim, as much as fish in the sea. V'chazaka, and there it's a chazaka. Right, that's why it's avadai. It's not actually avadai, but it's a chazaka, which is vadai enough for us. Mechaven sheparas metzudaso merav yomtov miyad nitzodu lisocham. Once you spread it out at Yom Tov, so immediately it's going to be trapped. V'lo mishkachas ela b'matza chaya b'socho v'lo niskal karezes shma mina shelo nitzoda b'socho ela shav mueses v'hayom nitzodu. Right, the only way that it wouldn't be like that is if, right, you find it messed up and you see that there's, right, nothing there. So that, but on a normal case, there would be a rechazaka. Right, meaning if you, the only way it'd be usur is if you found an animal in it and the trap is not messed up, right? Because that's clear that the animal hasn't been struggling too long, right? If the animal's been there for a long time, it'll be all messed up, right? The only case where it'd be usur, according to Yerushalmi, is if you come, you find an animal there and the trap's basically intact, right? That means that the animal was only trapped 5 minutes ago, right? But any other time, if you find that the trap is already, you know, starting to be torn up, that means the animal's been there for a while, and you can assume that it was Erev Yom Tov. The only time would be Aser, according to the Yerushalmi, which needs Vada in order to forbid it, again, is where you come, you find the animal, and the trap is basically perfect, which implies that the animal just got in there, hasn't yet gotten a chance to struggle to get out. So that's just understanding the Yerushalmi. And again, the Rambam seems to be following the Yerushalmi.
The trap or the animal itself?
It sounds like the trap. I don't know exactly what the trap looks like, but assuming it could be clawing at it.
So many different
traps. Could it be the animal? I guess. I don't know. It depends on it. Whatever. If it's let's say.
About the trap.
Yeah, I mean, look.
You don't see the animal.
Yeah, I mean, look. Let's say it's a net, right? It's a big net, right? So the net may be able to withstand the animal struggling for a long time. That doesn't mean you aren't going to start seeing loose threads because every time its claw hits something, right? You know, it will lose. So, you know, so if you see it and nothing has been clawed, and you know, I don't know, the leaves around there are not, you know, spread out. I don't know. I've never trapped an animal. I have no idea, right? But I assume that someone who knows what they're doing will be able to look at the scene and sort of get an intuitive.
So there still is some element of suffix. It's right. Not like they walked by the trap.
No, you didn't see it. Obviously, we know suffix, right? He said the only reason we're discussing this is because when we say vada, we don't mean vada. We mean chazaka, right? And we'll come back to that in a minute. But yeah, I mean, what's clear here is that we don't mean vaday vaday. If it's vaday vaday, what's the shaitla? There's no. Right, he's saying it means chazaka because chazaka. Okay, you can already start arguing. It's a level of vados.
What kind of animal could you catch in a trap that would be kosher in a forest?
A deer.
Well, you're not going to trap a deer.
Why not?
Because that's not how it works.
Don't they trap
a deer that way?
No.
You trap a deer.
Don't they trap like Bambi's mother or something that way? I don't know.
Usually you
break its leg or something like that.
No, or it goes into a corral, a large chutzner. Basically, it goes into a chutzner and then the door shuts behind it.
What else is there?
A duck.
That's a bird.
In a forest? I don't know.
There could be a pond in the forest.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the duck. Yeah, I don't know. I guess a wild sheep. I don't know, a ram. I don't know. I don't know.
When you're setting these traps, do you have to have in mind that what you're catching, you plan on eating?
The assumption seems to be that's why you're doing it, right? That seems to be the assumption. I assume that's the assumption here, right? That's the hana, right? I assume that's what's going on. That's what it sounds like. But again, to defend the Rambam, you just have to say what he's doing is he's reading like the Yerushalmi. That's a text, right? Textually, you just have to say the Rambam is either posking straight like the Yerushalmi or is reinterpreting the Bavli in light of the Yerushalmi. Conceptually, again, the question of whether you need vaday or not, and whether a goy, anything that a goy has, is automatically not mukta, that may come down to this question of whether you think you need active hachana, you don't need active hachana. At least the goy question seems to, I would suggest, hang on that. It's possible it hangs on other things, right? Meaning it could be you'd say, look, anything that goyim own is never really mukta because, you know, if I have a relationship with a goy,
it's extraterritorial.
Who knows? He may show up, right? It's possible he'll show up with a gift. I don't know. I had it in mind. It could be that they're arguing psychology. I don't know. I can't prove it. I would suggest that maybe they're arguing on this axis of what the definition of mukta is, but it could be something else. The tzlach also weighs in here. Well, that will come back to with Rami Gamliel. That's the question of why he doesn't accept him from the guy, right? Yeah. And not everyone says, like Rashi, that he just hates him. Other people have different... Right? He just says, I hate... Right. We'll get there. Right? That, it could be Soni Matanos Yichya, right? Depending on whether you think Soni Matanos Yichya applies to a guy.
Okay. Before that, you're not supposed to invite a guy to your house on Yontif.
He didn't invite him. He showed up and gave him a present, right? And he didn't invite him. He didn't take it, and... Even if he had taken it, he wouldn't have invited him into Eve. I don't know. But we did do. Okay. So the Tzlach also picks up on this, and it says, Dvarav Tmuin. Rambam, I don't know what this is. Shreyosin Shetad Nayom Lav Savignin Olavadein Amuchan. He said, I don't know what's going on. Because something that a goy trapped on Yom Tov isn't Safeg, it's Vaday. V'nirad Yerushalmi Mash Mektira Azru B'Yom Tov Min HaTorah. And he said, I don't understand. Yerushalmi said that it was that right trapping was aser midaraisa mishum ktira, right? We already went that. It was Tosfos's position. V'amnam tzeda in a mavurbach krash evi rishalmi unsham maybe tzeda right. Say we saw tzeda as a bit of a question, and that was what we did. V'efshar lomer tzeda hainu ktira v'gamkin aser matara. That's the position of Tosfos that tzeda is ktira. V'ikal meimar. So he said, maybe, Ktira is only, Ktira is Doraisa, but Tzeda is Midrabanan. V'shulchan Aruch mavur hefresh bein davar asur mishum Tzeda uktira, ubein davar she'en bo chash Ktira, v'tzeda rak sheba michut latchum. And Shulchan Aruch will distinguish between things that are asur because a malacha was violated to get them, and things that are only asur because they came michut latchum. The davar shemuchotzro ktira utzeda aser lakol. Something that's aser because a malacha was performed on it is aser for everybody. Mashen kein davar shein bochshash ktira vitzeda rak shabav michutz latchum. But something that there's no concern that a malacha was violated for it just came from outside the tchum. Ain't no aser lakol. It's not aser for everybody. Rak lazeshuva bishvila. It's only aser for him. And as we'll see, this is what Alan already hinted at as a knas of sorts. Or Maisa Shabbos thing, and that's what the Gemara continues with afterwards. There's another difference. Linyan Safek, the Safek Muchan Aser, Ava Safek Tchumin, Sovar Rashal, Biyam Shal Shlomo, Viyam Oganav, Ram Shul Mutter. And there's a difference also in terms of Safek. And after that, what seemed irrelevant, he now brings it back. He said, this is how I want to understand the Rambam. The Tanakama sover tzeda dino kmo ktira mamash va'aser min haTorah. The Tanakama thought that tzeda is biblical, and therefore it's forbidden midoraisa. Al kolponim yeshal smach min haMikra v'chein aser b'safek, or at least it's almost daraisa, and therefore it's aser even b'safek. V'chein aser l'kol Yisrael. It's aser for everybody. And it's aser even in safek. V'chein aser afilu notes in memela, and it's aser even if it's trapped by itself. Kevin shemeinu shemashas hayim chaser tzeda. Since right, it was missing a biblical act in order to be gotten into your, auspices on yantiv. It's aser even b'safek for you and for everybody. Mashein dein tchumen shasafek mutter, but by tchum safek will be mutter. V'chein ba me'elav michotz tchum mutter lo garabi ba b'shvil zeshem mutter b'shvil acher. Rami Gamliel sover should say da ain't a bechal ktsira. Rami Gamliel thinks that tzeda is not midaraisa. Veini sura yosher mitchumen, and tzeda is no worse than tchum. Veinu ketchumen v'lachein matzer sveiko v'chein matzer and nitzon meilav and nitzir al yidei goy b'shvil Yisrael zeh shemuter la'acher. So the tzlach again to defend the Rambam understands this totally differently, and he says no. The machlok is Rami Gamliel and According to the Rambam, Maturim Gamliel and Tanakhama is as follows. The principle of the Mishnah is anything which is muktzah because it's missing a biblical malacha is going to be asur even besafek, and it's going to be asur to everybody. Right? It's a much more chamor isur than something which is asur because it violated, let's say, tchum. The machlokes, Rambam Gamliel and the Tanakhama, isn't about muktzah. They agree on that principle. The machlokes between Gamaliel and the Chachamim is how bad is tzeda? Is tzeda d'araisa or tzeda d'rabbanan? And if it's d'araisa, so then the muktza or whatever, or the maisa shabbos that's generated by something being trapped on Yom Tov is more strict, and therefore is asr even b'safek. If you think that it's only d'rabbanan, so then it's a safek on a d'rabbanan, and therefore it is going to be mutter b'safek, and it's going to be mutter for someone that it wasn't done for his sake, and that is the position of Rambam Gamliel. So, just to summarize, so the Rambam...
We're talking about Yantif.
Yantif, yeah.
I thought Seda's an Ab Mocha.
What?
I thought Seda's an Ab Mocha.
Yeah, but this was what we spent so much time with on Yom Tov, right? Why is it us? Or we saw. Some Rishonim thought it was Midaraisa, some thought it was Rabbanan. Right, again, on Shabbos, we're not talking about Shabbos, we're talking about Yom Tov. Right, and that was the Machlokas before, right? So just to summarize this, okay. So Rashi, Rov Rishonim think that the machlokes here is purely about safek. Is safek mukta aser or mutter? The Rambam thinks that the machlokes is more extreme than that. Rabbi Gamliel is even makil on something that was not mukhan, that was brought by a guy. Why? Where does he get that from? It seems like it's from the Yerushalmi. Why does he say it? So, one possibility is, like this machlokas in the Yerushalmi, the machlokas about safek muhchan al-yidei akum, is that, does an akum need hachana or not? Which, like I said, could be a psychological machlokas, or it could be, did you have in mind that a goy might show up or not? Or it's a fundamental machlokas, right? In order for something to be muktzah, do you need active hachana, in which case if a goy had it before Yom Tov, or even on Yom Tov, it's muktzah because he didn't prepare it for Yom Tov, or is something only muktzah if it is actively pushed away from you, and therefore a goy can't do that, and therefore it's automatically mutter. And the tzlach's suggestion that maybe everyone agrees that a muktzah generated by not still requiring a biblical malacha is chamor, and therefore even besafek is asur. One which is derabanan is going to be safek likula machlokes. Between Rambam Gamliel and Tanakhama, according to this, is whether or not seida on Yom Tov, not on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, is also midaraisa or midarabanan, which was the machlokes we saw at the beginning of the perek.
But he doesn't deal with the goy portion of the Rambam at all. He only deals with the... Because the goy is not suffering. The goy is
violent. No, but the goy... Correct. No, he is, because he's saying if a goy brings it on Yom Tov,
yes,
right? So he's saying because it was only a violation of the Darabanan anyways, it's a goy violating Darabanan, so it's mutter. Right? That's from Gamliel's contention. Right? But the Tanakhama would say no. Since Seida is Daraisa, therefore a goy violated... obviously for him it's mutter, but you can't benefit from it, even besafik. And that's how he takes it. Okay. I'm going to skip for a moment 7 and 8, because the question that was really been hanging in the air, I'll come back to 7 and 8, is the question of, okay, if you don't accept any of this, still the question is, why is Safek, why does anybody say Safek is Asur, right? I mean, the assumption here is that we paskin that a Safek Mukta is Asur, but why? Mukta is Derabanan.
Well, the
tzlach just answered. So the tzlach says, okay, well, maybe it's some sort of gzera atu adaraisa, right? It's not really a muktzah problem per se. It's a muktzah slash a gzera problem atu. You might have somebody, it's a maisa shabbos, muktzah, something, right? Some other derabanan, in which safek, it still makes sense that safek is aser. That's possible. But remember, he's explaining the Rambam. But let's move away from the Rambam. Let's just say, okay, but I mean, I guess the truth is that this works to explain the sugya also. But let's say it really is just a muksa problem, right? The way Rashi says, just a muksa problem. It's a muksa problem, so why do we paskin the safek muksa is usher? right? I mean, if you don't do the fancy lambdas of the tzlach, that's not really mukta. It looks like it's mukta. It's not really mukta. This is a mukta, maisa, shabbos, gzeira, atut, seida, I don't know, however you want to explain it. Why is mukta aser? So, there's two different ways of solving this problem. One is to say, look, you think that mukta is derabanan, but it's not quite a normal derabanan. And if you look, so in go look at 10 first, because 10 is just succinct, right? Tosfos Yeshanim on Daf Gimel Amud Beis tells you this. He says, Aval Rav Nachman lo parach de mukta chamira vehevi kein daraisa. Safek muktan is indeed aser because mukta is not a normal derabanan. It's a kein daraisa. It's quasi biblical. What does that mean? I don't really know, right? But it's a super. Right, it's a kein daraisa. Now, what does a kein daraisa mean? Sometimes kein daraisa means maybe it is rooted in biblical law, right? Meaning there are asmachtas for it, and there is evidence once in a while. There's a ritva like this, and then it makes its way in there. Right? The ritva in Rashana says things with asmachtot have a quasi-biblical status, or maybe more than a quasi-biblical status, and the pri chadash and these. So the Prima Gadim is psychokoleles, so that anytime something has an asmachta, so Safik Dirabanan goes lachumra. Now why would that be true? So then you have to get into it, right? Why is it that in general Dirabanan is lakula? Right? So in general, why do we say Safik Dirabanan lakula? And Safik Daraisa lachumra? It's machlok as Rishonim. Right? The Rambam says that mi Daraisa, Safik Daraisa is lakula. Midrabanan, Safik Daraisa is Lachumra. Right? It's always confusing trying to verbalize that, right? But meaning on a biblical level, all Sveikot are permitted. On a rabbinic level, the rabbis distinguish between biblical law and rabbinic law. But that tells you that sometimes you'll find exceptions in both directions. I mean, there's nothing fundamental telling you that Dirabanan has to be permitted bisafik and Daraisa has to be permitted, it has to be aser b'safek, is that Chazal wanted to distinguish between Daraisa and Darabanan, but sometimes they upgrade Darabanans, and sometimes they say it's not worth being machmir on the Daraisas.
Public policy grounds.
Yeah, and therefore sometimes there are going to be exceptions. Why are there going to be exceptions? There are going to be exceptions. Why is mukta an exception? I don't know. It's mukta is an exception. Because
it's too easy to violate it.
It's too easy to violate. Or, as the Ramban notes, it really is rooted, right? It's not like pretend it's rooted in biblical law. It is rooted in biblical law. It's rooted in it's rooted in Shabbaton. Right? The Ramban says mukta is rooted in Shabbaton. In our Daraisa obligation to rest on Shabbos. So it is a quasi Daraisa.
It's like Shvut.
You
said that you use the Torah, the word mukta.
That's the question. So that's the question at the beginning of the Masech. The base is how the sugya of Hachana, how is that connected to Mukta? So again, it could be that that's what Tosfos means, that it's either rooted in the Daraisa, in an Asmachta form, if you think Ve'echinu Asher Yaviu is Darabanan, or Ramban-esque, that Mukta itself is quasi Daraisa because it's part of our Chiyuv to create a Shabbistic environment, and therefore it's sort of Daraisa. Now the other possibility, right, is that no, right? Safek daraisa lechumra is midaraisa, and therefore the rabbanan just don't oppose that the rabbanan, right? It is something mihuti, but the truth is that doesn't preclude the possibility that a derabanan will be like that. Also, it just means that you can't change the daraisa so easily. It doesn't mean that you can change you can't change the derabanan. We could always change derabanans. But there is this tradition that mukta, for whatever reason, because it's rooted in the Doraisa, or because it's so easy to violate, or whatever, we decide that it is treated like a Doraisa. The Meiri says that here as well. So if you look at 9, it says le'inin beir nirem and asugya the dafka lekabel atir v'lebachila ela shalach v'chosafek muchan shasur. We'll come back to the achila thing later. That's the second half of the Gemara. But the halacha is it's called safek muchan is aser. But lo saf davar shachila so aser alaf til tulo aser. Not only eating it, but even moving it. Afal pishu safek sofrim. Even though it's safek nidarabana and hoel v'yesh b'achila so safek Torah. Shema mitoch til tulo yavol le'echol. Va'af l'das omer muktzad rabbanon af achilas b'amim shaholchen b'chayot zibel lahachmir fima shadavar karov lavo lidei iser. So he tells you, right, this is very hedgy language, right? He says, well, in a chanami, mukta is only midarabbanan, but there's different levels of mukta. Eating it is a worse mukta. Why is it worse mukta? Not because it's deraisa either, but because if you come to eat mukta, because which wasn't, you know, hunted before Yom Tov, so maybe you'll come to trap it on Yom Tov. So this isn't a normal mukta. It's a mukta which is like a, like the Tzlach says, a kain gezera against Seda. So it's a, you know, it's a chamur mukta, it's a chamur derabanan, because it's a derabanan which is rooted in a chash daraisa, and therefore, maybe not every mukta is going to be luchumra, safek luchumra, but
it's
this one is.
All muktas are like that, right?
Well, the Tosafot Yerushalmi says yes. Tosafot Yerushalmi says, right, all mukta, safek luchumra, is kain daraisa.
We make them many times when we have a certain thing, right?
Well, not necessarily, right? He thinks, right, the Tosafot Yerushalmi says this as a, right, that muktah is kain daraisa. That's
certain things when you have a muktah on Shabbos.
Maybe. We're to intimate. We actually be pretty machmir on muktah. The Tosafot Yerushalmi is quoted a lot, la halacha. Right, so the Tosafot Yerushalmi sort of says across the board that safek muktah is usur. The Meiri hedges, right, he says maybe not every muktah, but this muktah, right, the tilpatul might lead to achila, and the achila might lead to violating an isser, and, you know, it's a mukta which is generated from a gzera that you might come to violate an isser, so we treat it very, very stringently, right? So that's, admittedly, there's important nuance between the Meiri and Tosfos, but both of them are saying, for one reason or another, mukta is an exception, or this mukta is an exception.
This mukta.
Well, Tosafot says, Tosafot Yerushalmi says mukta is an exception. The Meiri says this mukta is an exception.
There's different categories.
What?
There's different categories in mukta.
Well, in a chanami, okay. But the Meiri goes out of his way to tell you that this one.
Okay.
This one. Tosafot Yerushalmi says not.
What is Rabbi Gamliel saying there?
So what would Rabbi Gamliel say? Rabbi Gamliel just rejected. He said, nah, mukta is mukta, it's derabanan, right? I mean, Rabbi Gamliel is easy here. Rabbi Gamliel would just say, mukta is derabanan, stabi derabanan l'kula, let's move on. That's the easiest way. If you hold like...
So then the argument is, your opinion on what mukta is, between the rabbi...
Correct. Okay. Correct. Right, meaning, right, so we had the Tzlach's interpretation, the machlokas is, how bad is tzeda?
Right.
But the simplest understanding is the machlokas is how bad is mukta. Right? That's the easiest way. Is that right? In all of this, Rabbi Gamliel is easy to understand. Safik lakula. I get it. It's Rabbanan. That's easy. End of story. Move on. Right? The chiddush is the way. Well, the chiddush is the way we paskin. That's not true. That safik is lachomra. Tosafot Yerushalmi says that's because mukta is always unique. Either again, it's kain daraisa, which whatever that means. It's rooted in Daraisa. It's sort of Daraisa. It's rooted in Shabbaton. It's different Nevi'im because it's rooted in Davar and in Yishayahu. So it's halfway between a Daraisa and Darabanan. It's a mitzvah Kali of Daraisa, of Shabbaton, whatever you want to say. Or the Meiri, that certain muktas are, you know, particularly Chamor, Gzeira, Zana, Daraisa, so we're Machmir, whatever you want to say. And again, Rabbi Gamliel would just say, it's not true.
But he even say bada in certain circumstances, according to the Rambam.
According to the Rambam. Yeah, but we moved on from the Rambam. We moved on. I tried to organize this, because it's very, like, misudar, because there's so many little issues that are going on. We've moved on from the Rambam. Yes, the Rambam says vada is also mutter. Now we've moved on to safek. Why would you argue about safek? So, why you would, if you think that the only issue at hand, if you think of Rambam Leo's moda that vada is usur, and it's just that safek's mutter, he's really easy to explain it. Right? Safek is mutter because it's safek derabanan lakula. The exception here is the Tanakama, we paskin like, and then again, either you make these sweeping statements like the Tosafot Yerushalmi, or a local statement like the Meiri. There is a totally another possibility, and that's what Rabbi Kivi Eger says in 11, which is, we actually have an easy solution to this, which is, why are you getting all worked up about the notion that safek derabanan is lachumra? There is a rule in which Safek Darabanan is always L'chumra. And that is, Davar Shiyesh L'matiren. Right? Anything that will eventually be Mutter, the halacha is, Davar Shiyesh L'matiren is, right, has no bitul, and therefore, presumably, is also Asur B'Safek, because you could just wait a few hours. Right? So Rabbi Kivi Eger says, it's very easy. Why is Safek L'chumra on a Darabanan? because it's not a direct regular drabbanan. Mukta is only is time dependent, and therefore it's obviously the material. We're not telling you you can't use this ever. We're telling you can't use it till sundown. So wait till sundown, and if it's davarishishu matirin.
But is that really
davar sheyesh matirin? Actually, davar sheyesh matirin. So this is the problem, is that davar sheyesh, and this is what Rebbe Baker says, right? The machlokes is this davar sheyesh lo matirin or not? Why wouldn't it be? Before we even look inside.
Because the whole purpose
is one eat it on yantzah. Exactly, right? Mitzad echad, you'd say it's davar sheyesh matirin because we're not forbidding the food to you. You can eat it motzei, right? Motzei yom tov. Mitzad sheni, it's not davar sheyesh l'matirin because you want to eat it now. Right? Yeah. That's the whole point.
That fish ain't going to be no good for you.
Yeah, exactly.
It won't become mutter during yantzah, which is your simplest shelter with your
tzadim. Exactly. Now, this seems to come down to, so there's a fundamental machlokas rishonim. Why is davar sheyesh l'matirin more machmir than anything else in Kal Tarkula? Rashi says it's because lama, right? Lama yochlena be iser yochlena beheter. Right? Rashi just says, look, why would you eat it when it's aser? Eat it when it's mutter. The Ran says, no, it's a fundamental claim. It's a fundamental claim. And this is a bit complicated. This is the Ran in Nevo Desert Afnan Beis, where he says it follows. And this doesn't apply to Suffolk, this only applies to Bittel. He says, by Bittel, the reason Davar Sheyesh Matirin is not Batel is because in order for something to be batel, there needs to be a clash, right? You take iser, you put it in heter, it now disappears. That's not only true in reality, that's true in halacha as well. In order for something to be batel, you need iser heter be iser, right? And then, or heter, or iser be heter, right? You need something to overwhelm the other. Davar sheyesh l'matirin is aser now, but bimihuto, it's mutter. And therefore, when something which is only temporarily usher falls into something which is always mutter, it's basically heter beheter, and therefore there's no clash. If there's no clash, there's no bittel. Now that doesn't work, right? If you think that davar sheyesh matirin is that lumdish, it doesn't help you here, but this isn't a davar sheyesh matirin question, it's a time question, right? If you think that davar sheyesh matirin is just a simple svara, the reason that it's not batel when it has a matir is because wait till it's mutter, why are you violating the isser? Then it's going to help you by suffix as well, because you could theoretically say that, hey, why do a suffix? Just wait till later on when it's going to be vaday mutter. Then, so, but on that plane, you can still have a machlokes, as Sam notes, which is, on the one hand, you'd say, it's yeshul matirin because I'm going to need it tonight. Mitzad sheni, if you look at it from the perspective of lost opportunity, the opportunity is never coming back. Right? And this is actually a machlokes a poskim. Rov poskim think, what's the nafkamina of this? Most poskim think that, let's say, I'm not sure how many hours it's been since I ate meat. Right? I'm not sure. Is it 4, 5, 6? I don't know. And I want to have ice cream now. Can I have ice cream? It's suffik. Right? So, rov poskim actually say, you can. Because this isn't yishul matirin. Right? If you matir me to have ice cream in 2 hours, so what you're saying is I can have ice cream as a snack, but I can't have ice cream as dessert. Or I can have it as dessert at dinner, but I can't have it as my afternoon snack. Meaning it's lost opportunity cost, which I can't get back. There was an article by Rabbi Heber in, or Tzvi Heber in the Masora Journal years ago, who argued that no, that lost opportunity cost doesn't matter, right? And that's called davar sheyesh matirin, and therefore you'd have to wait. I'm not sure if it's the same one who's the head of the COR, like VAD. It might be the same name writing in a Kashrus journal of the OU on Kashrus. I didn't ask him, but it would not be shocked. Like, why wouldn't it be? He's been involved in the business for a long time. I don't know. I'll ask him next time I talk to him. I talked to him. I emailed him today. So I don't know. It could be him. I'm not sure to know. It could be him. But at any rate, but that's what it would come down to, right? Is that he says this is a function of davar sheyesh l'matirin, but as Sam notes, you can easily challenge that, and that would be the machlokas from Gamliel and the Tanakama, which is what's going on. Do you take lost opportunity cost? Do you say, well, I could eat this food later, and therefore it's davar sheyesh l'matirin, or do you say, no, I can't eat it later? I mean, I can, but then I would lost, right? Right now, there is no way of being matir this, and therefore it is mutter. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says in 11, Mikol Malkom Lachar L'Maskan Maskizin Le'el. Safik Darabbanan by Davashirish Matirin Aser. He said, if you pask in the Safik Darabbanan by Davashirish Matirin Aser, Hachanami Atam Rak Mishum Zeh, Dim Lokin Yaksha Had Rabbi Yom Le'el, the Matir Safik Mulchan. Akarach Lo Sfir Le'elach Klolet Safik Darabbanan by Davashirish Matirin Aser. He said, that's the Machlokes. Right? The Machlokes is a Safik Darabbanan by Davashirish Matirin Aser. Now, again, why would they argue? So again, they might argue because this question is lost opportunity cost called Yesh Lo Matirin or not, or they argue on the axis of the Ran and Rashi, right? Meaning, according to the Ran, Davar Sheyesh Matirin only makes sense in the world of Bittel, doesn't make sense in the world of Safek. Rashi potentially makes sense in the world of Safek because, right, Lama Yochlenu Be'isr, Yochlenu Be'hetir works both for Safek and for Bittel, but it doesn't work. Right, the Ran's fundamental svara, the reason Davar Sheyesh Matirin isn't batel is because there's no halachic clash that has nothing to do with Sveikos, that only has to do with Bittel. So either they're arguing on that axis or they're arguing simply, you know, pragmatically. Is lost opportunity, is that enough to say this is not called Yesh Lo Matirin? So at time of the Tanakama, mitam safik muchan, mehechatesi lan lomar shnei tam safik muchan asur. The Gamba Alma Davashish Matirin Asur, Gamlio Travayu Listle, we know the number of Gamplikatarte, Alkarch Muchach, the Lesser Shum Chumra, but Muchan Yosin Rib Alma, Upligi Rakbid in Davashish Matirin. He said, I don't want to think that this is some unique machlokes. This is a machlokes they generally have about Davashish Matirin. And then what's the nafkamina? So you just skip to the bowl. He said, "Nafkamina l'dina b'safek muchan v'machal mitkalkel ad l'machar din v'zemidin yesh lo matirin." Said, "What's the nafkamina between whether you think Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim are arguing about mukta locally or davar sheyesh lo matirin?" So he said, "It's very simple." We've discussed, maybe we could argue about his lost opportunity cost, Yesh Lo Matirin. But there are certain circumstances where it's pashut, that it's there. It's a total lost opportunity. So for example, if it's going to spoil by tonight, right? The only time you can eat it is tonight. Now there's no matir within the time that would be relevant. So he says, look, if you think the reason the Tanakhama forbids it is because it's a davar sheyesh lo matirin, and suffik davar sheyesh lo matirin is asur, so then if it's going to spoil before tonight, then they would be moda that in suffik muchan you could eat it because there's no matirin, it'll spoil by time Yom Tov is over.
So davar sheyesh matirin is a din derabanan or is a din deraisa?
Probably derabanan.
Because all you need is.
Probably Darabana.
So it's a suffix on a suffix in some ways.
Doesn't matter. We do that. That is what it is. But he said, if you think that's what they're arguing about, so he said, just solve. So then, in a case where you could isolate it, right, you could say, no, there is no way out of this. So then, even the Tanakhama would be moda that it would be mutter. He just notes at the end also that Lomri and Savik Muchan Asra el Besfeka Bemaisa. Sveka Dedina Lo. He adds a second caveat that he thinks this is only true by a suffik in reality. But a suffik in halacha, everyone would be moja that it's lakula, because a suffik in halacha is just, but the halacha, right, as Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, by Darabanan, if you have a machlokes, so suffik Darabanan, right, lakula. And therefore he thinks that this whole discussion is only true in a case of suffik in reality, not a suffik in halacha. Okay, so just to summarize where we are, because we're going to have to pick up on this next week, which we're sort of expected. So, first question. Is our sugya only about suffik, even about vaday? Rov Rishonim say it's suffik, the Rambam says it's vaday. Where does the Rambam get it? Textually, the Yerushalmi. Why? What's the logic for it? Why would it be true that even if you know for sure that a guy got it for you on Yom Tov and it wasn't Muchan, why would that be mutter? As the Yerushalmi explicitly says to Machlokes. So, either it's some sort of psychological Machlokes, did a guy, did you have in mind what the guy was going to bring or not? Or it's a fundamental Machlokes, namely, is mukta about something only mukta when you push it out of your mind? If it was under the auspices of the guy, you couldn't do that, and therefore it's mutter. Or is mukta asur because unless you actively prepare something, you're making it, so then it's asur, in which case the guy couldn't do it. The Tzlach says, to explain the Rambam, maybe you have to understand that this isn't a normal mukta. It's a mukta atu agzera that we don't want you to end up violating malachos on Yom Tov. And the machlokas is not about the mukta. The machlokas is about how bad is the malacha that you might come to violate. Is tzedah d'oraisa because it's kotzer, or is it derabanan, in which case it's too many derabanans stacked on top of each other, and that's why it's going to be mutter. Okay. And the next thing we got to, we just get my thoughts out, right, is, okay, if you don't understand like the Rambam, you understand it like Rashi, and Rav Rishonim, that the machlokas here is just about Safek, so we understand Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel says, Safek derabanan l'kula, that's easy. Why would you say Safek derabanan l'chumra? So either you say, like Tosfos Rishonim, all mukta is kein d'oraisa, again, either because of the Ramban, that all mukta is a function of Shabbaton, that we have a d'oraisa obligation to rest, and mukta is just a function of that, or it comes from Yishayahu, and therefore it's divrei nevi'im or something like that. You know, some way it's dabar davar or something, I don't know. Or, like the Me'iri, maybe not all mukta is kein d'oraisa, but this one is, because this mukta, like the tzlach, is some sort of mix of exera and seda or something. Or Bikveger, who says, no, this is a function of safek davar sheish l'matiren. Whether the rule of davar sheish l'matiren can be extended beyond bittel seems to hang on whether you hold like Ran or Rashi. If you hold like the Ran, the davar sheish l'matiren is about it not creating a halachic clash. It doesn't spill over into Safek. If you think like Rashi, that the reason Davar Sheish Matirin isn't Batel is because why eat it Be'isr, just eat it Beheter, that spills over into Safek, because you could say, why eat it now when you're not sure whether it's Mutter? Wait till tonight when it's Vaday Mutter. But even within that, you could argue at multiple levels, right? Because you could say, on the one hand, yes, this food will be mutter, but on the other hand, I will have lost the opportunity to eat it on Yom Tov, which provides a sort of plausible axis upon which Rabbi Gamliel can argue with the Tanakhama. Kiviger himself suggests that if this is the machlokes, if you could create a scenario in which you can't employ the svara, why eat it be'isr, eat it beheter, namely, the food's going to spoil before tonight. So now it's not, is lost opportunity called a total loss, it's just, will I be able to eat the food or not? So then, if you think it's about davar sheish l'matirin, everyone would agree that it's permitted. If you think it's about all the chumras of mukta, so then it would still be prohibited. And then Rabbi Akiva himself just said, this is only a suffix in reality. A suffix in halacha is a different story, because then it's just suffix d'rabbanan, and then everyone would agree that it's lakula. Okay, yeah.
A few years ago, that out. When we were near the beginning of this, okay, I thought we learned something about birds. These are birds that are domesticated birds that you have in your coop. And you have to designate before Yom Tov which ones you're going to shat. And then the questions were, if you wanted two, and you go there, and maybe another two, there was a suffix whether those... So, and we already went through the concept of a suffix, that it was permissible if the probability was those were the birds that you designated. So, how does that fit in with all this, where we've already learned that a suffix is permissible? Well, I think it was permissible back there.
Well, that was a question of roves and car roves, and
then you had distance. Like, you
know, no. No, this is
suffik.
Yeah, but that as we saw suffik and vaday. Once you mix in chazaka rove and karov, that's a sugya of rove and karov, and right, it gets more complicated. Yeah, but
okay.
Yeah, we'll have to maybe come back to it. But right now we'll have to shelve it. But that's anyways. This is the introduction to this. Somewhat complicated, more than somewhat complicated. So yeah, but whatever. That's just the way it is. I don't pick what comes next on the dot.